Well, without any further ado, I just want to thank Pastor Ray for coming this morning. Come on up, buddy. Hallelujah. Love you.
Praise the Lord. Whew. Well, as usual, you know, when you're preparing a message, it's mysterious. And you get this inkling and you start moving along a line. And I felt like the message title is Our Journey with Jesus. You see in your left-hand page, you may want to take some notes. I love the fact that no matter what the message and no matter what it speaks to anyone else, the Holy Spirit has a way of causing it to speak to you in a way that's unique. And the beauty of that is amazing because of how deeply the Lord loves us. So the left-hand page, we're starting in Luke 8. Let's pray before I get too far in here. Lord, we're just so thankful for your love, for the way you mature us, Lord, the way you take us from who we are when we start with you, Lord, into the destiny you called us to, Lord, the way you mature us into the image of Jesus Christ. We're all humbled and in awe of Jesus and all the ways he ministered and all the ways that he walked in this earth and the model that he set for us. And Lord, I just thank you that it's not by my might, but it's by yours, by your might, by your power, by the Holy Spirit, that we're transformed more and more into the image. And we just invite you today, Lord, we all open our hearts and say, Lord, let today be one of those days that changes me, changes the way I look at myself, changes the way I look at my world, changes the way I perceive things, Lord, that I could be more like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So we're on a journey with Jesus, and I just wanted to read in the left-hand page, you have this in the minutes, but we're in Luke 8 and starting at 22, and it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side, and they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a storm came down the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. So here we go, we're going across the lake with Jesus right in the boat with us, and suddenly the storm comes up, and it's serious. This is a real deal. It's the boat's filling with water. Have you guys ever been in a boat full of water? No, because it sinks. You're not in the boat anymore. You're standing on something wishing you could find a way to get your boat out of the water. And so the boat's filling with water. They're panicked, and they come to him, wake him up, say, Master, we're perishing. He rose and rebuked the wind and the raging. Now, who would have thought of that? That wasn't in their wheelhouse. Like, you know, hey, someone needs to rebuke this wind. We got to get a handle on this. So he wakes up and he rebukes the wind and the raging water, and they ceased and were calm. Jesus speaks, everything changes, not just the wind, but the water. Have you ever stirred up water? I mean, it takes its time settling down. You know, the ripples have to go out and so Jesus speaks and everything changes, the water, the wind. And he says to them, where's your faith? They were afraid and marveled at one another, saying, who can this be that commands even the winds and the water obey him? So where's your faith? And I was thinking, wow, we're on this journey with Jesus. And I just love his patience with us. He's not in a hurry. How many of you feel like you ought to be further along? You know, that's the human condition, okay? So I'm going to give you a buy on that. Listen, you're not, all right? It's okay. Where you are right now is okay. We're on this journey. And until we meet Jesus, we start off, we're born, and we're on this journey. And basically, we're going in a big circle. You know, without Jesus, you're not going to reach your destiny. Without Jesus, you're not going to get to the goal of your life. What happens in the midst of this journey is that the Holy Spirit intervenes in your life. And suddenly you feel something pulling you. You feel something that's different. You feel like, I want to know more about what's going on in my spiritual life. I want to know more of what it is to be about this. I want to know more. And so the first point is making sure that Jesus is in the boat on our journey. And if you look at your message notes, and you see these scriptures are all in Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12, 5:8, 10:9 through 13. These are called the Romans Road by Christianity. It helps to have a few scriptures in your possession when you're sharing the gospel. And, you know, if you haven't ever invited Jesus into your heart, it's these scriptures that convince you, wow, this is like for real. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What? So I'm not the only one out here that feels like I'm not made it. You know, I'm not where I ought to be with Christ. Yeah, that's kind of our condition. And without His power, we don't get there. So, and then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a gift the Lord has for you and for your friends and for everyone you know and for the people that are mean to you and for the people that are nice to you. There's a gift for the whole world of everlasting life in Christ Jesus. This is some good news, people. And the more people hear about it, the more they're going to want to know more. In Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So it's another confirmation that, you know what, that this journey you're on is not going to lead to a good place apart from Christ. In Romans 10:9-13, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we believe in our heart and we say it with our mouth. Man, I believe it. Jesus did it. He did what he said he'd do. He came and forgave all my sins. And the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. But there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. 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 So the first point is making sure Jesus is in the boat. It's a little different now. You know, the disciples actually could see Jesus right there in the boat. You know, what a blessing, huh? What a great help. We're believing Jesus is with us in the boat. The Bible tells us that he makes his abode with us. He's living with us. Jesus is with you. Okay, when we've gone through the scriptures, we've invited Jesus into our heart, we've accomplished this task, I guess, called salvation. So now we're saved. Jesus has made his residence. He dwells with us. He hangs out with us. He knows what we're going through. He knows where our stresses are. This week, my dad was going through this medical issue. What a struggle. It's just hard. And he's a man of faith. And he's believing with us for Jesus. A lot of us were praying for him this week. And thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Things are working out. He feels much better and things are coming around. But in the midst of that, I talked to him, I think it was Thursday. And we're talking, and he's just a great man of faith. And he's like giving me, coaching me, giving me advice, helping me out with the message. And it was so amazing. You know, the journey we are on takes us different places, and you don't know what you're going to add to someone else's journey. And so as we go through this journey, trials happen. And you have to know that Jesus is in the boat with you. You have to know that you've got something that's going to carry you through. And so we get Jesus in the boat, and now the second point is to stay connected. Let's turn to John 15. We've even got help. We got help. So John 15, we're going to start in 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Okay, that's not my favorite. Not my favorite scripture. But there it is. I mean, it's red print in my Bible. That's Jesus, so, you know, swallow hard. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. There's confirmation, okay? Your sins are forgiven. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Guys, it's important because we're going to find ourselves in the struggles like the disciples, and we need to be abiding all along so that it's not a surprise, like, oh, I need to really connect now because of this trial. No, it's like another thing has come around in this journey of my life. Now I'm on a path. The Lord's doing things, and they're causing, he's working all these things together for my good, and I need to be abiding in him so that I catch it. Because I want to be being transformed. I want to become more like Jesus. I want to be more helpful. I want to be more loving. I want to be more kind. I want to be representing the good news of the gospel in every aspect of my life. I want to be, the Bible talks about anointing. I want people to get wet when I'm around because something of the Holy Spirit impacts them. When they impact me, when they come around in my sphere of influence, they're impacted by this anointing, this Holy Spirit that I can't explain and I can't put my finger on, and they won't be able to either. But something happens inside because of their interaction with the Holy Spirit, because we've been abiding in him. That's the fruit I'm after. Abide in me and I in you, as I'm in four. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So now we're with Jesus in the boat. We're bearing fruit because we're spending time with the Lord. We're hanging out with him. We're making time to spend with the Lord. You know, this abiding is not real tough. It's not real tough to abide in him. Jesus wants us to relax and let him do the muscle work, the real hard work. It's easy to struggle. You know, when you are responsible for the well-being of your family and it takes some hard work and struggle, you don't back down from that. And it's not something that you count as a high cost, because you're going to do what it takes to make sure your family's cared for. And sometimes we don't give Jesus the room to make his family cared for. I want to tell you that he's done the heavy lifting for you. And he's asking you to abide in him so that you can relax. You can abide in him and feel the peace of his presence. Understand the power of his life dwelling in you so that you can relax. You know, there's a lot of tension in the church today because the forces outside are saying, oh, you're all against me. You're so against me. You're so against me. I'm not against anyone. You're living where I was. You are me. I'm not against anybody. I just want to get more people in the boat with me. Don't you want more people in this boat? Whew! Let me tell you, there's room in the boat for more. And I've invited Jesus to lead me, to be in the boat with me, so that I can navigate trials. And while I'm navigating trials, I want him to be there with me. I want to be abiding there with him. And I want other people to have an opportunity to get in this boat so they can navigate their trials. I've worked at the same place for a long, long time. I guess I could say it. It's like 27 years. And I have family at work. I love them. And they go through trials, and you want to help. You want to have something to offer them. And so the third point is, how are we going to get people in the boat? And that's what the top of your page says, how to invite Jesus into your boat. This is going to help you have scriptures and ways to communicate with people. And as I was praying about it, the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 13. And as you meditate or think about, how are you going to impact someone's life with Jesus Christ? How is that going to happen? Because we all have been called to go minister. In later in Luke, in this scripture we started with about this travel, the disciples are on this journey with Jesus. He sends out 70 on this test run. Okay, I want you guys to go minister. And that's what he's doing with everybody that's invited him into the boat. He's like, listen, let's take this for a test ride, people. We're gonna go out and share the good news. And so you guys are all commissioned to go share the good news. And as you think, okay, now, what am I going to do? How am I going to share the good news? I mean, it's easy for me to, you know, be okay here at church. I mean, I could pull it off for an hour. You know, I could be okay for an hour, and you guys will like me. But these people know me. I mean, I work 10-hour days at work. These people know me. Now, how am I going to share the gospel with these people that already know that I don't have it all together? I don't have it all together. And so, the Lord took me to this prayer. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So, we can talk about Jesus and sound like a clanging brass or a symbol. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and acknowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and though I have not love, it profits me nothing. And so we're getting to the understanding of where we need to come from to find this. And we're going to start in 4, and I'm going to change the word love to Jesus. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. He never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. And whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. Hallelujah. As we ponder how to reach our neighbors, our co-workers, people we buy gasoline from, people we buy groceries from, people we interact with, people we meet on vacation. People, how do we reach people? And we say, Lord, I want to love like you love. I want to put my name in there. I want you to change me in a way that I can love like you love. I can love and suffer long and not let that put me off. I can be kind, not envious, not parade myself or be puffed up, not be rude and not seek my own, not be provoked and not think evil. People, this is impossible, okay? Let me just tell you, this is impossible. It's impossible. You have to ask Jesus to do it through you because you cannot. You cannot. I cannot. The whole time I've been at work, I've been a Christian. The entirety of my working career with the company I work with, I've been a Christian. But I haven't modeled Jesus this whole time. There's been times I did a great job, and then there's been times I've stunk at it. And so we're all on this journey where we're growing. And the Bible talks about count it joy when you encounter various trials. Because it does something inside you. It causes you to step into a new place of faith. We're coming to this place of perfection, this place of completeness, because we understand that more and more, it's really not about us. It's about getting Jesus in the boat and then just hanging on, abiding in him, holding on, just like they did. They woke him up. There's water in the boat. We're going down. We're in the middle of this thing, and there's no escape for us. We're not going to live. And I want to live like they lived, hanging on tight, just hanging on, like, I can't make it. I'm not going to live. This is not going to go well apart from you being in the boat with me, Lord. And then when you're in the boat, I'm full of faith and confidence. I can speak to the weather. I can do whatever you ask me to do because you filled me with power. You're the Lord of everything. You're God Almighty. My troubles are easy for you. You've already got the solution for them. And not only are you solving the problems I'm facing, you're doing something in me in the midst of it. I'm a new person. I'm a different person. I'm more like Jesus Christ. I'm coming into a place of understanding more what it is to believe you. I'm full of faith. I'm not the same because you keep meeting me as I hang on, as I just hold on, and hold on, and cry out, oh Lord, there's water in the boat, there's snow everywhere, my health is failing, whatever it is, there's something going on, and it's emergent. My son-in-law's out on the roads, he's trying to get home from work, whatever it is, something's going on. Oh Jesus, I need you again. I need you again. It's time. Wake up. What's going on? And he says, I got you. So let's just take a moment. There's no clock, so I don't know if we've gone long or short, but let's take a moment and just open your spirit. And you know the struggles you're facing. Say, Lord, I just invite you to be the vine again. Wherever I've been wigged out about something that's beyond my control and the enemy pushes me to worry about, Lord, I'm just hanging on to the vine. I'm just hanging on to you, Lord, because in the midst of this, you're not only solving this issue, you're not only resolving the pressure and the scared and the fear and the I'm going to die, but you're coming to do a work in me and you're changing me in the midst of it, Lord. You're causing us to become more. And Lord, those places where I was afraid to be loving, I was afraid to be kind, I ask for a new boldness, Lord, because you pulled me out of some dark places, and I want to be available to love someone else out of their dark places. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just invite you to cause us to be more fruitful as we hang on to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue in that thought as he's had us turn our hearts to the Lord. Stay here, would you? I thank you, Lord, for the simplicity and the power that's in the simplicity of a message of clinging to you. And everybody here needs this. I thank you, Lord, we don't live a religious veneer life. We live a transparent life that says we need help. And we're not ashamed that we need help. Thank you for taking very ordinary people, this group here, and causing something great to rest upon us because of you. Not because of us, but because of you. Let a holy murmur of praise and gratitude just begin to rise up in your spirit here. In the midst of our struggles, the Lord is saying, I can hear this in my heart. The Lord says, you have a genuine faith. A genuine faith does not always mean you're standing on the mountaintop. It means you realize with a sensitivity in your heart to the Lord, you realize when you're not where you need to be. And you turn to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. We want to thank you, Lord, today. We sat at your feet. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We're sitting at your feet right now. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the purity of your word, for the still small voice that comes and gives us in a whisper a powerful moment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that this little, the still small voice gives us a word that causes us to rise up above whatever storm. Mm-hmm. Because you do rebuke the winds.
Thank you.
You rebuke the waves.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thought you were not there, but you were there all along.
Thank you.
and then you're cultivating something. And Lord, I just pray that the end result of this season will be a stronger faith, much stronger faith. As Ray winced at the whole idea of the pruning, we say, Lord, we don't like that too much. But some of us feel like this, we got the winter nubs going on. But we know that a fruitful spring is just ahead. Blossoms of things that we had no idea, the nature of what you wanted to do. And on tagging on the end of this, Lord, it is my heart, I know it's Pastor Ray's heart and all the pastoral staff and all the people here. We say it is our heart before you, living God, that many souls would come to know you. That our lives would matter in your kingdom, and that you would help us these days ahead to walk in a way, to speak in a way, to befriend people in a way that causes their hearts to say, because Lord, the everybody is in a storm today. And they don't have you in the boat, just as Pastor Ray said. They don't have you. And we want to help. We want to help in a non-judgmental way. We want to help in a non-religious way. We want to help in a friendly, encouraging way. We receive that anointing of Jesus upon us. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go ahead and stand together. And you're right. There's something special right here. How many of you feel the Lord with you in your heart?